Birth, Volume 3, The Gathering, Chapter 6. "What's up, my brother?" said Dick as he and Katie entered the lab with white smocks over their clothes and paper booties pulled over their shoes. "What's that smell?" asked Kyle. "Cinnamon muffins from Bailey's kitchen," said Dick. "Ha! Kiss first," he said, kissing Katie's cheek and grabbing for the paper bag, "and then a muffin. Oh, baby, that is good." "Are you having sex or eatings?" asked Katie. "It's all the same," said Kyle. "Rhino, you want one?" "I'm Samoan," said Rhino, looking in the paper bag. "Ring that Pavlovian bell," said Dick, fist-bumping Kyle. "What you got over there?" "That's a pretty big turbocharger," he said, leaning down to look inside the corkscrew device in the lathe. "We've been fitting magnets into it all morning," said Kyle, with a full mouth. "I mean, Rhino has. Don't get too close with anything metal. I noticed these neodymium magnets are slightly larger than the ones on the nitrous lens on the Challenger," said Dick. "Yeah, slightly. About 100 times the mass," said Kyle, taking a sip of his coffee. "Well, even if it doesn't work, it looks badass. How much you got in this thing?" asked Dick. "Well, taxpayers would not be happy, let's put it that way," said Kyle.
"They will if it hooks up," said Dick.
"What's it do?" asked Katie.
well, picture driving an electric car with an infinite extension cord," said Kyle.
"What, you don't need any batteries?" asked Katie.
"Batteries are not included," said Kyle, smiling.
"So you don't have to burn something or slam neutrons together to boil water, make steam, turn a turbine, and spin a generator to make electricity?" asked Katie, folding her fingers over one by one as she counted the current process of making electricity.
"No soap radio," said Kyle.
"No what?" asked Katie.
"No soap radio.
It's funny when you're drunk," said Dick.
"I don't get it," said Rhino, releasing the compression tool after clamping another set of magnets into place.
"Not much to get. It's kind of a higher plane sense of humor, a fancy way of saying no shit."
"Hey, that's a cool tool. You make that too?" asked Dick.
"Yep. You gotta have some guns to run it, though," said Kyle, patting the bicep on the arm holding his coffee mug.
"Four more to go, my man," said Rhino, flexing his huge arms.
"Okay, be careful. The flux lines around this baby are smoking hot," said Kyle, watching the LEDs light up on his handheld magnetometer.
"Do we need to wear any goggles or anything?" asked Katie.
"No. I mean, I don't think so. It's not in the visible frequencies," said Kyle.
"Exactly what does this do?" asked Katie.
"Oh, she said the E word. Baby, we never use the word exactly. We never know exactly anything until we press on the pedal. It either hooks up, and it's a hell of a ride, or you take second place," said Dick.
"Yeah, I know. Nobody gives a damn about second place," said Katie, putting her hands inside the pockets of her smock while it was too cold for comfort.
"Have I told you how good you look in a smock?" asked Dick.
"Okay, you two, do me a favor and go tell that supply chain guy out there to call the chief. He'll know what you mean," said Kyle.
"I gotta pee anyway," said Katie. The two of them took off their smocks and booties in the airlock and walked out to the front desk where the supply chain sergeant was staring at a computer screen with an inventory check sheet in front of him. Dick told him to make the call while they slipped out the door and down the hall to the restrooms.
"Chief? They're just about ready to give it a spin," said the supply chain sergeant into the phone.
"Yes, sir. I will call them."
"Got it.
1 hour.
"Yes, sir.
Goodbye," he said. Dick waited in the hallway for Katie, and after a couple of minutes she came out. They walked through the double doors in front of the desk and up to the sergeant.
"You ready for this?" asked Dick.
"This what?" asked the sergeant.
"Hey, one about this big is wicked on some nitrous oxide," said Dick, holding his hands about a foot apart.
"There ain't no free lunch," said the sergeant.
"Well, see you at the show," said Dick.
"1 hour, said the sergeant.
"That's cool. School starts in 1 hour, then, said Dick as they walked back into the airlock. I kind of get where he's coming from, said Katie, once the doors had closed and the air filtration system covered the sound of her soft voice. Yeah, he lives in a world of the possible, said Dick. And you don't? Asked Katie, smiling. Meeting you was impossible, he said, putting his arms around her and kissing her. Well, come on then, let's show them, she said, opening the lab door and shuffling her paper booties through the doorway into the lab. Okay, we're back, said Dick. We just got the last set of magnets in place, said Kyle. Nice workout, said Rhino, rubbing his arms. I reckon it takes about 400 pounds of pressure to push them close enough to get the bolt started. The nut gets it the rest of the way with this electric impact gun. Then we torque it to 200 foot-pounds. Now we have to balance it, said Kyle. Like balancing a crank, said Dick. Precisely, said Kyle. Hand me that drill and the pack of cobalt bits and turn on the electronics. Got it, said Dick. Hey, it's pretty damn close. Let me drill this bolt and this one, said Kyle, putting on his safety glasses. Dude, hold on. Rhino, bring that shop vac over here and pick up the shavings as they come off this drill, said Dick. You the man, said Rhino, following Dick's orders. Okay, go ahead, said Dick. Kyle drilled two holes about half an inch deep to remove just enough metal to balance the stainless steel screw loaded with the magnetic pairs. He rotated it by hand and noticed the load cell's readouts all zeros. Okay, this baby should be able to spin up to about 3,000 RPM on this lathe with no problem. Let's mount the cable array, said Kyle. Are these things the cable array? Asked Dick. Yep. It's basically a cage that holds the receiving cables, said Kyle. It looks like a mess, said Katie. Well, it's everything but the kitchen sink, actually. I have steel fuel lines, copper, silver, fiber optic cable, and even some microwave conduit. I just don't know how it comes in yet. Then, on the back end is the sodium iodide crystal, and that connects to a photomultiplier board. That's how I picked it up last time in Irwin. Hopefully, it is more amplitude, said Kyle. Okay, let's bolt this baby on. They're going to be here in a few minutes, said Dick. Rhino picked up the first half, and Dick used the impact to bolt into the frame mounted on the lathe. He picked up the other half and put it in place. It looks pretty cool, said Rhino. Well, we're underground about 1,000 feet. We are looking into a concrete wall over there with steel rebar in it. We're not using any liquid gas. We have no circuit, and this is the first time I've spun a lens inside the pickups, said Kyle. Well, that's about 5 variables. If we don't write off some confounding conditions, this is going to take a while to get all the data, said Rhino. Like, how long? Asked Dick. Like 7 days a week for 3 years, said Rhino. Unless the doc is wrong. I don't think we have that long, said Dick. Look, guys, I didn't ask to see this. The first time I hook up these crystals to my laptop and use it as a spectrometer, I get a glimpse of these high-voltage peaks that aren't supposed to be there. In order to get some work out of it, I figured we had to make it bigger and stronger, said Dick, almost whining. Hell yeah, said Dick. Let's fire this baby up. Aren't we supposed to wait for the chief? Asked Katie. When did that ever stop us? Said Dick. Maybe we have to tweak something. You never know. Might as well admit it. We're addicted to love, said Kyle, completing the line in the song. She blinded me with science, said Dick, giving Kyle a high five. Okay, you work the lathe. Let me turn on the spec program, said Kyle as he pressed the button on his laptop and began clicking through the programs to get the interface up and operating. Oh, well, one thing's for sure. This place ain't glowing in the dark. What? Asked Katie. He means it's atomically quiet, said Dick. Oh, yeah, Dr. Paris. That was cool, said Kyle, remembering the pre-bomb scintillation chamber at Oak Ridge National Labs. Okay, I'm ready. just a turn or two. Turbines to speed, said Dick. The large stainless corkscrew began to spin slowly at first, and then Dick began to turn up the speed on the lathe controller. Got anything? He asked Kyle. Nope. Rhino, there's a stack of meters up there on the shelf. Are any of them reading anything? Nothing yet, said Rhino. Katie, stare at that oscilloscope screen and let me know if you see any sort of wave shape, noise, anything at all, said Kyle. We're at 600 RPM, said Dick. This thing's kind of big. Are you sure it will take more RPM without coming apart? I spun it at 3,000 RPM with no magnets. It's way heavier now, but it should take a couple of thousand RPM anyway, said Kyle. Well, I'm standing over to the front here, said Dick. The meters aren't showing anything, said Rhino. I'm not seeing anything on the screen yet, said Katie. Okay, I'm going up to 1,000 RPM, said Dick. Oh, that's cool. What? Asked Kyle. Well, my hair is standing up, said Dick. You're shitting me. Okay, I got it, said Kyle. Whoa, little brother, slow down the mind. What are you thinking? Asked Dick. Slowly ramp it down to zero. Then spin it the other way, said Kyle. You're such a Romulan, said Dick. Oh, come on, Kirk, said Katie. I know, right? Said Dick as he slowed the lathe down to zero. Let's check your clearances. Make sure this thing hasn't stretched or anything. Kyle grabbed his go-no-go gauges and checked the arms of the screw to make sure the magnet seats had not shifted. Nothing has shifted. Give that dead-end bearing a little twist and lock it down, will you, Rhino? Asked Kyle, putting the gauges back on the table. Got it, said Rhino. Okay, here comes the brass, said Dick. Well, that's cool. I gotta pee again. That was intense, said Katie. Hold it. This is gonna get interesting, said Dick, smiling at her. One by one, the chief and a couple of tech sergeants scrubbed their shoes and put on their booties and grabbed a smock out of the lockers. The chief pushed open the door and walked in with his team. Okay, good morning, Mr. Kramer. You got something to show us? Said the chief. The master chief sergeant was about 50 years old and had worked on virtually every type of electronics gear the Air Force had ever seen. Yes, sir, said Kyle, now feeling out of his element. Hey, Master Chief, I'm Dick Daring. Can I walk you through this and let Kyle answer the questions? Said Dick, stepping in as the lateral leader to avert Kyle's nervous spiral. You're the one who flew the G5 out of low space, out of a flat spin? He asked with his calm blue eyes. Yes, sir, said Dick. You earned your stripes as far as I'm concerned. Lead on, said the chief. Okay, thank you. Kyle has built a rotor that's designed to intensify a phenomenon that we experienced in Tennessee in my Challenger that was fitted with a magnetic lens on the nitrous injection system. It's aimed at a concrete wall, and we're 1,000 feet under a granite mountain. We have a cable array of conduits and fibers surrounding it to accomplish a large design of experiment. Rhino here is a PhD candidate in geophysics and tells me that with this many conditions and variables, we are going to have to narrow this down in a hurry, or it's going to take 3 years to find out how good this can work. The array is connected to meters and oscilloscope, and we have a sodium iodide crystal set up to try to duplicate the peaks we saw by accident at Irwin. Now, if you'll let us spin this rotor, we'll see what we will see, said Dick, like he was lecturing before his global fan base online. You've done this before? Asked the chief. Not exactly, said Dick. Well, let's see what you got, said the chief. Katie smiled at Dick. Somewhere in just about every racing story he ever told her were those same words. He said it was sort of like a redneck saying, hold my beer. It was showtime. This is where the bumpers of the two cars slid gently into the staging lights. In a few split seconds, the body and mind would have to become one with the machine strapped under the ass. The eyes would focus on the finish line, and somehow the mind could slow 4 seconds down to enough time to shift all the gears and keep the car straight while ripping the asphalt under the tires, while the engine pumped 5,000 horsepower in less than 667 revolutions of the motor, assuming you didn't spin the tires. Dick reversed the spin control and began to apply the power to the drive motor. He took the motor up to 600 RPM and held it there. "Hold it," said Katie. "I got something on the screen." Kyle walked over to the oscilloscope and reached up to spin the voltage range controls. "I have a 600 hertz signal making about 40 volts," said Kyle. "I got something on three of these meters," said Rhino. Kyle switched them back and forth between AC and DC to check all the meters. "Same thing here, but it's kind of as I expected from the copper and the gas line. We're just inducing a current flow. Let me check the laptop," said Kyle. "Nothing yet. Ramp it up." Dick ramped the lathe up to 1,000 RPM. The wind from the large rotor made noise in the lab, and Kyle had to raise his voice. "Bingo! There are the peaks, but they're smaller than they were in Irwin. Something's missing. I don't know. I gotta think," said Kyle. The chief walked up to Kyle and put his hand on his shoulder. Kyle looked up from the floor and into his eyes. "Son, you showed me something I've never seen. I think you're close. You're gonna get it. Hang in there," said the chief. "Thanks, chief," said Kyle, smiling with relief as he and his group left the lab. He could hear the mumbling in the airlock, but he knew he was close to lifting the curtain into a power source that could make a huge difference in everything. "Time to brainstorm," said Dick. "It's called heartstorming," said Rhino. "Hey, I like that. How does that work?" asked Katie. "Well, Lisa says that real imagination doesn't take place in the brain. It takes place in the heart," said Rhino. "You mean the red muscle pump in your chest?" asked Dick. "Actually, there is a small amount of unexplainable gray matter in the heart that generates waves very similar to brain waves. You can't live without it. Once you learn to go there with your mind, you can really tap into the information of the universe," said Rhino. "I always called it a six-pack epiphany," said Dick. "Well, as a matter of fact, wine is better than beer for removing the idea filter we keep in place most of the time," said Rhino. "Wine is good for removing lots of things," said Katie. "She's been teaching me a really cool meditation. She got the idea from Shelley during one of her radio broadcasts. It could save the world, you know," said Rhino. "I just want to know where this energy is coming from and how to get more of it," said Kyle. "It's kind of like that weird movie we watched the other night," said Katie. "Which part?" asked Dick. "The part where he gets to the edge of the universe and sees it spiraling back on itself. What is that called again?" she asked. "A toroid," said Kyle. "Yeah, a toroid. Except he called it a consciousness dialectic. It stuck with me, but I have no idea what the hell he was talking about," she said. It's a component of capacitors. Voltage can build up on either side of it and can't get through it. The circuit makes the path for it to discharge around the dialectic," said Kyle. "That's what I mean. The dimension is the dialectic, and your turbocharger thing is forming the circuit so it can come around," she said, trying to keep up with the genius in the room. "So consciousness is the power source?" asked Rhino. "That's scary. What do we have to do, think about it to make it work?" said Dick, making fun of the idea. "Maybe it isn't thinking at all. Maybe it's just the raw, creative force of the human species that makes it happen," said Katie. "One problem with that theory. I'm not sure there are any humans out there. What if something else comes through on the wire?" asked Dick. "Oh, Like brain-eating aliens? Asked Katie. I saw that movie. Don't tell me it was one of those Illuminati previews, said Kyle. I'm cutting you guys off, said Dick. I was just saying, said Katie, backing off. Hey, I'm just trying to duplicate and scale up, said Kyle. I got you, bro. No issue here. Just light the candle, said Dick. I'm with you, Kyle. You the man. But right now, I have to make my way home to get ready for dinner. I have a date, said Rhino. That's cool. Same time tomorrow? I want to hook this to a load and see what happens, said Kyle. Wouldn't miss it. I'll be here, said Rhino, walking out of the lab and into the airlock. He slipped his 49ers jersey back on, waved to the group, and left the facility. What say we go get some pizza, asked Dick. I'm down with that. I'll meet you there. I'm going to clean up and go by Donna's place. Awesome. See you there. We'll be waiting for you, said Dick. No movie tonight? Asked Kyle. Some chick flick. I thought about golf cart racing out to Camp David and taking a peek, said Dick. No way. Really? Outside? Asked Kyle. Why not? It's guarded out there and it's the middle of the woods, said Dick. You mean fresh air? Asked Katie. Hey, it's just a thought, said Dick. Well, it could make for a nice ride anyway. It's about 15 miles out there and back, said Kyle. I'll see if I can boost a couple of carts with full charges. Say, around 10 o'clock tonight? Said Dick, smiling and grabbing Katie's hand. They headed into the airlock and tossed their booties in the trash. See you on Main Street, said Kyle, raising his voice. Dick waved back to Kyle through the window between the airlock and the lab as they left.